Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to our show. Goodness, we have been on a journey so far discussing the 15 diseases of leadership. According to Pope Francis, it was an article that was written by Gary Hamel with the Harvard Business Review. And if you go to the show outline, you can see a link that will lead you to this wonderful article that he wrote. And we've been going through each one of them. Today we're on number 4, and we're talking about the disease of excessive planning and functionalism. I'm going to read this to you because this is really important, what we're about to talk about today, because I think it's really, back in the day, maybe they still do today, I don't know, they used to say it was micromanaging. But when a leader plans everything down to the last detail and then believes that with perfect planning things will fall into place, he or she becomes an accountant or an office manager. And things need to be prepared. I mean, goodness gracious, we all know that. But without ever falling into the temptation of trying to eliminate spontaneity and serendipity, easy for me to say, which is always more flexible than any human planning. So when we look at all that, and we micromanage this idea of excessive planning, we contract this disease because it's easy and to get comfortable and to settle into our own sedentary and unchanging ways. And so today, you know, one of the things that I don't know if I want to say pride myself in, but I've learned to do is to, yes, we have to plan. Yes, we have to have some idea where we're going, because otherwise you're kind of taking a shotgun approach to life. But the rest of it is not up to us. That's where it stops. That's where it stops. So let me welcome my co-host today, Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, you being the ultimate list maker, how does this feel? And I throw him under the bus right off the bat.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, man. I really appreciate that. You know, it's so funny because those of you who know me well, this is Daniel and I, we've actually had this conversation as recently as yesterday.
Yes.
And it's absolutely fascinating, because for those of you who actually know me very well, you know that I'm blessed with a wonderful case of attention deficit, which means if I don't write it down, it will be forgotten by the time I would get back to my desk. But unfortunately, sometimes that gets misconstrued with the need to write everything down, take it down to the checklist. You know, I've used in conversations and speaking engagements, I use the example, we talk about overachievers or over planners. It says, you know, a bad day is when you have a list of 20 things to do, you get 19 of them done, and because that one still remains on your to-do list, you feel like you failed and you dropped the ball for that day. And it's such a horrible feeling. So I can assure you there's a lot of folks listening to this show today that are nodding their head right now, because they hear it quite often. And you've heard the language of, you know, paralysis by analysis and et cetera, what's fascinating for me, since you were kind enough to talk about
your shortcomings,
one of my biggest growth opportunities.
Notice how that, Johnny says things versus the way I say them.
Right,
it's
right.
A growth opportunity.
Being very
okay.
Polite here. At some point, I will return the favor.
I know you will.
So interesting, though, is when you begin your own business, and this is what was fascinating for me. So I've had a, you know, long, long, long career working for some great organizations, most recently 27 plus years with Best Buy Company and several different leadership roles. But what's interesting is when you walk away from that environment, you go into your own business, you realize a multitude of things, of which a couple are that huge swath of support you had in human beings that cared enough about you to keep you safe and take care of all of the minutiae that you never had to deal with on your own, you now have to deal with. And then having a group of resources that you could go to for support. So when I think of new business owners, and I think of some, you know, close friends that we could talk a little bit about on this show today that I hold up as a vision of good, you know, and Daniel, even you and I spoke about it this week, is having the ability to truly let go and be able to prioritize and manage those things that really matter most and be okay with not having your foundation or the building blocks of whatever it is you're doing at a state of perfectionism is truly a gift. And one of the things I like about the Pope's article that he mentions there is, in so many words, that, you know, while you're sitting there busy planning, and although you may have a great idea and be first to market, while you're sitting there stuck in the planning phases, all those who are second and third to market will come and blow right by you. Just because you're so caught in the onslaught of just the messiness of it, you know?
Yeah, and I think sometimes all the best planning in the world doesn't keep you from things happening. And I think a lot of people think, well, if I plan well, then I'm going to reduce the chances of failure. You're not. I think you're absolutely correct. The fact that you're, you know, at the drawing board, you know, I learned, being in business almost 18 years now, that first to market wins. And usually the one that gets first to market is got their wagon with one wheel off and the other three wobbling, and they're just dragging that thing to market. While someone's out there trying to make sure they have the best vehicle to get there, someone else is saying, let me just get the word out. And they're patenting the idea, and they're putting they're getting the licenses. And they may not have it all together, but they're first to market. You know, and I think the other thing that needs to be looked at here is that when you don't leave room for spontaneity and for life serendipity, for life to just happen, then you really are a control freak. And if you're a controller, that's a psychological disease, folks. That is a psychological problem with the way that you function. And so we really got to look at that and go, wow, am I able to plan and then allow life to happen? I mean, if any of you have kids that are listening, I'm sure many of you have kids that are listening, you know, you know that you can plan the best outing in the world that you want and it not go any way that you absolutely planned it. For example, I lead groups around the world, spiritual journeys around the world, and next weekend I'm going to be headed up to Peru with my son, which is the first time that my son's traveled with me, and a few other kids. So there's 20 of us going. And all the planning in the world I know is not going to save me from the spontaneity of life. But I'm open to that. I'm very open to just saying, let's just see what presents itself. I'm going to plan. I'm going to have the right people in the right place. I'm going to make sure I have the right vendors where I need them. But it doesn't mean that I'm sold that that's the way we're going to do things. How many of you out there can do that? How many of you can do that with your business? You know, it's very interesting, Johnny. You know, one of the cool things about being in business for yourself, and you'll realize this, that when you get down the road a few years, you'll inadvertently have someone come to you and say something that you said 10 years ago that you just kind of scratch your head at. Now, there was a woman that I was speaking at an event last year, and she walked up to me and she says, oh my gosh, I can't thank you enough. 10 years ago, you said throw away your planner. I said, I did. I said, okay, I must have been just leaving the corporate world and didn't want to be structured. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't know about throwing it away, but even I, as a business owner, have a list of things that I want to get done. But what I do that might be helpful to some of you that keep me, because Johnny, you said the problem I think that most people have is that you got 21 things on your list, you got 20 of them done, you feel like a failure because the one didn't get done. And I used to feel that way too. So what I do today, I have a big whiteboard I write on, and I write all the things I had to get done. And what it's kind of a, how do you say it, like a rolling list, and it just gets moved to the next day. And I get done wherever it gets done. However, for me to feel good, because I know what that feels like to get to the end of the day and wonder did I do anything, I have a highlighter that I highlight the things I did get done so I can see that I did do something. I did get the things done that I need to do. I just didn't get everything done and then be okay with it, you know?
That's right. You know, and I think there's another part of it is people talk about the ability, and it's a fine balance, right? So there is something to be said for planning in terms of mitigating risk, right? You know, if not putting enough together that you go out and you fall in your place. And I mean, you know, failure, they say, is the fastest way to learn. But if you continue to make the same mistakes because you haven't effectively planned, well, that's a whole different conversation. But in many cases, I think what ends up happening is when people start over-planning, individuals start over-planning, one of the unspoken truths or one of the hidden things, the real purpose behind it is it's a fear. And it's a fear to actually take that chance to jump off the edge and actually get busy, get into business, get whatever it is. And you're so busy, say, well, I've got this to do, I've got this to do, I've got this to do. I've got these T's to cross, these I's to dot. I've got this to finish in the website. I've got whatever the case may be, they become more excuses than legitimate reasons as to why you get out there. And then once you get out there, you mentioned this earlier, it's nothing in its initial creation is in its final form. So no matter how you put it out there, to your point, it's going to evolve. And ultimately, as long as you have an open mind, you're not a control freak, and you're willing to adapt and experiment and be open to different things, it will morph into what it needs to be. Which is, there's also another point, is don't over-engineer it and spend so much money in planning, in creating it from the initial state, that it ends up being quote-unquote throwaway money where you have to go back. The other part about that, Daniel, is you can't also, as a company, as a startup, mid-sized Fortune 50 company, the other part of it is don't hide behind the lack of planning and an effort to say, well, you know, we're an innovation company, which you hear a lot nowadays, whether it's in the tech industry or any industry. Right? We're always evolving and always changing, and what ends up happening is these companies create new initiatives. And as they create new initiatives, they say, well, we'll go back and we'll clean up this part of it, the process, the systems, whatever the case, the human resources. And then before that, they're onto their next one and onto their next one. And then pretty soon what they find out, they're 5 years down the road, and it's going to cost them hundreds of millions of dollars to go back and put all the foundational components in place that they overted, that they skipped over the first time. So this can look like many, many different things. So I like the way you say it. You need to jump in with both feet. But you need to be thoughtful as you go around doing it. I mean, use the example of you working with the group in New York City that we're talking about coming up here. Mm-hmm. Some of the changes that you've had to make and evolve in your own business, I mean, it's just fascinating. But yet you had the courage to say, I get it, I got it, I'm willing to learn more about it, but I'm going to continue to move forward and we'll build some of the plane while we're in the air.
Yep. Yeah, well, I think that's the magic. I think that's the magic. And you know, every once in a while, now, mind you, I just said every once in a while, it's okay to shoot from the hip. But if you become a gunslinger, then people are going to know you as a gunslinger. And what that really means is, you know, don't count on him because he might change his mind right in the middle of the process. So it's really important. You think about, you know, the whole idea, you know, this Pope Francis, and Johnny, you probably can speak more to him than I can, but, you know, it's amazing that we're even having this conversation, that he's even been interviewed, that Gary took the onus to interview him on these, you know, that these things came out of his mouth. You know, now mind you, they may have been a little edited to be more readable, but it's amazing that someone that typically, you know, the Pope has been somewhat untouchable. You know, that's why he went around in his little Pope mobile with, you know, bulletproof glass, and it just seemed like he was always, you know, in the glass bubble, never really in touch with what's going on in the world, which is why I respect this particular Pope so much. Now, because these things that he's saying seem to take on a different energy when they come from him. It's not like we haven't heard this stuff before.
That's right. And I think that if for anyone who's studied the Pope and where he came from, not necessarily where in the world he's come from, but how he behaved and how he ran the business end of what he did for, you know, as a bishop, archbishop, et cetera, you know, in South America, it was very consistent. And I think that's the amazing thing about him is he doesn't have to change who he is, how he believes, how he ran the business end of it. He is who he is. The thing that I think is so cool about it is that he's saying the same thing, to your point, that many others have said. He's just saying it a different way. And for some reason, in me, I believe it's a gift. It's coming from a higher power. But I believe it's a gift that in one way, shape, or form, he speaks it in a language that touches everyone where they're at, regardless of religion and spiritual background. And it's real easy to see him if you take off the habit you take him out of Rome and all that goes along with it, is if you were to hear any other human being speak like that, you would say, oh, my gosh, they're clearly one of the most inspirational and motivational speakers on the planet. I mean, it just comes so natural for him. And it's not like he has a bunch of writers. You know, my son sent me a note, Nick, he's studying to be an engineer in the automotive industry, and he sent me a note the other day, and he said, hey, Dad, did you see the Pope has got a new car? He said it's a Hyundai with the top shaved off, no more bulletproof glass. But, I mean, it's fascinating because no matter what he does, you got 20-year-old kids out there who are going to school to be engineers. I mean, he's in some way, shape, or form, there's something mystical and magical, and then when he makes statements like that and writes an article, and participates in an article like this, I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. There's so much that we can learn from him.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you ran across this article, Johnny, and that we're actually getting a chance to dive into it a little bit. I really this particular disease of leadership, I want to challenge everyone who's listening to the show today to think about that in their lives and think about where they may be over controlling the outcome. It seems to me, at least my experience in business, has been that the more I try to control, the less I have. It's so difficult for me to sometimes let go. And that's really what we're talking about here. If you really just want to take all this that we've been talking about, it's really the art of letting go. You know, how do I let go of this control that I have, of this need that I have to micromanage everything in my life? Because the truth is, if you micromanage at work, you micromanage at home. You know, and so how do we get to a place where we feel comfortable with this idea that, you know, that we're going to plan and then let things be as they be? I mean, all you have to do is take a look at a wedding that's being planned and watch what happens. It never goes the way it's
that's
supposed
right.
to go. And the one that has,
right.
there's a whole show, a reality show called Bridezillas. You know, and the show is based on people who go nuts when things go out of control. And the truth is, there's always something's going to go wrong, always. And maybe not wrong,
you know,
but not the way you want it.
That's right. You know, and it's ironic you say that because my youngest daughter is in the process of planning her wedding. And, you know, she gets married in August. And as I sit back and I watch that experience and her Aunt Angela helping her plan it and that, and I just think about it, I mean, everything is just going really well. But you see the amount of work going into it, but it's inevitable. You know, come wedding day, reception, whatever the case may be, there's going to be curveballs. And in this case, thank goodness they will have done the amount of planning. But on the other end, there's no amount of planning that's going to mitigate every potential thing that's going to go wrong. And, you know, Danielle was going to share with you today. You know, it's we talk, obviously, frequently. And this week has been an interesting week. Actually, the last 2 weeks have been very interesting, because the lion's share of my conversations, probably 90% of the dialogue I've been having, has been with entrepreneurs. And that is an entirely different conversation than someone who normally functions in a very structured, process-oriented environment. And the mentality, and I don't want to say the lack of fear, and I don't want to say the lack of planning, but the courage to not only just believe in themselves, but believe in the good graces of a higher power, or just the good graces that I've got to get it out there. I can't learn until I fail, and I can't fail until I start going. It's been absolutely fascinating. And I have a very good friend, although I won't share his name. If I did, everyone would immediately identify with him, who is considered one of the country's most famous entrepreneurs. And he and I had conversations, and it's not unusual for him in that dialogue. He'll say, you know what, I've got an idea for 5 different businesses. Let me run these by you and see what you think. And then the next time we talk, it's like, you know, I've kind of put this one on site. It's evolved to this, 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 and this. And what's interesting is you could easily go back and say, well, the guy has no idea what he's doing. No, like many of us entrepreneurs and you know, big thinkers, it's just his mind's always turning. The guy, he's a genius. I mean, he literally is. But as this evolves, I can talk to him a week later, and he'll say, I decided to go a different direction. I'm working with this startup, and this is what we're doing. And it was none of the conversations we've had. And literally it went from, you know, 0 to 100 miles an hour in, you know, less than 30 days, and he's already out there involved. He's engaged in the work in Silicon Valley, and off they go. And I think about that, and it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, and in his case, you know, he believes that, you know, planning absolutely can be the antithesis of making progress and getting ahead. And especially in the tech world in which he comes from, you can't blink. I mean, you have to go. And I just think there's so many wonderful lessons to learn from the generation of kids that not only are graduating, that aren't even, that are, you know, that are still in elementary and junior high and senior high today, because you can open up anything and you could see just how fast the world is moving around us and the courage that so many folks are taking by being planful but not being but not over-engineering things. I mean, it's inspiring to me. And, you know, I'm trying to learn an awful lot by reading on some of these amazing stories.
You know, it's funny, as I kind of look deeper into this particular disease of the 15 diseases of leadership, according to Pope Francis, folks, we're not saying don't plan. What we're saying is quite the opposite, is that do plan, but leave room for things to be spontaneous. Leave room, because when you're managing people, if you don't leave room for your subordinates, associates, whatever you want to call them, employees, to have a creative space around that planning, then you're going to get a bunch of people who are unhappy working for you. If you give them the opportunity to be creative and come up with ideas, then you will come up with ideas that you couldn't come up with and could very well change the course of the company. A good example of that was Frito-Lay. One of the employees came up with an idea that they should have lemon-lime chips. And if you look at the probably majority of the management in that company was probably, you know, mainstream America, Caucasian. So for them to go and start making lemon lime Lay's potato chips was kind of crazy. But they did it. And it was one of the most successful things they ever did, was creating that because of the demographics that were eating their chips. And, of course, you know, today that's one of the – everybody makes lemon lime chips or whatever flavors. So
they make bubblegum chips nowadays.
Yeah, everything is mixed up. That's another show. Anyway, so, you know, we want to make sure that you're hearing us, that we're not saying don't plan. What we're saying is plan and let go. Plan and let go and see what happens and give people – and I think what goes with that, because we're talking about business, what goes with that and segueing into spirituality is allowing people to make mistakes. You can't plan so much that there's no room for error. There's got to be room for error. And then when there is error, because that's a learning opportunity for a subordinate or employee – that's where this whole idea of spirituality or intuitive leadership comes in, and we find our way to compassion, understanding, and forgiveness so that we can manage our way or inspire or motivate our way to better profits if that's what we're looking for. So clearly we're not saying anything about not planning. Quite the opposite. We're saying plan. If you're self-employed or you're an entrepreneur or run your own business, you know, as Johnny said earlier in the conversation, make your list, but don't beat yourself up because you're not completing it. When you're an entrepreneur, it's different than when you're working for a corporate company or a big company, because there's a lot of people around you, as Johnny is beginning to really recognize in his own business, is that when you're out there building your own business, and there's that support that corporate gives you is not there anymore. So there's not someone to pass it to and say, hey, get this done for tomorrow. Would you help me with this? You know, you just got to look yourself in the mirror and say, yep, I get to do that too. And then let go. And then let go. And then let go. And part of, I guess, if we were going to put all this in a nutshell, all of the diseases that we're going to be discussing today over the next few weeks really kind of really hit home in the work-life balance area. You know, because if you're overly obsessive, if you have a stone of heart, if you're micromanaging, I have to believe, and John, you may have a different opinion, but I have to believe that this is hurting you at home.
Oh, are you kidding? Absolutely it is. And it's making you miserable when you're not at home because you're doing so much firefighting and problem solving. And I think you're dead on, Daniel. And I think that you made a good point is unless you're allowing for some spontaneity, your employees and you are not growing. And no one benefits from that because then what happens is you become stale and you get a stagnant business and the options from there aren't healthy. So in order for your business to be successful, you've got to allow the spontaneity. Let go of the reins. Allow others to go out there and take on some of the workload. And for Pete's sakes, build some of the plane while it's in the air. All you got to do is give it enough wings to get it up there, and then because that's where all the learnings grow. And let your clients, your customers, or whatever that individual looks like who's purchasing your product or service, let them help you define where they want to take it, and the rewards will be tenfold.
Yep, he said it best. Well, folks, as always, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And next week, we're going to be discussing the disease number 5, the disease of poor coordination. And really what that boils down to is teamwork. Am I everything or do I work with other people well? And that's what we're going to be discussing next week. And then on the 25th and the 2nd, Johnny's going to be flying solo. I'm going to be in Peru leading a spiritual journey through Peru with some families. And I can't wait to see what Johnny brings to the table for you because I think he's got some exciting guests for you. So that's going to be fun. Yep.
And for the record, Daniel, I can't wait to see what you bring me back from Peru.
He just threw me under the bus. I got to buy him something now. All right, folks. Have a beautiful, blessed day. Until next week. Remember that we're discussing the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis, and we'll be on number 5 next week. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.